study, to worship, and always thankful for the opportunity in presenting glory to God. This evening, again, I know I really want to say I've preached a lesson like this in the past here. I don't remember what it was. Didn't go forth and look for it. But title of what to preach. You know, something I have to think about every week. And I know I get on some of the men on encouraging them to step up Wednesday night or filling in when I'm gone or even teaching Bible class or anything. And sometimes that can be the hardest part, picking out a topic and what to preach. And well, once you get a mindset on something, then you have something to run with. You get that flow going. Sometimes the hardest part is picking out exactly what you want to preach. You can sit there and dwell on a few things, and you toss it around, you go back and forth. And so it's just a question of what to preach. And so I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this evening. And the first thing that I want to bring out is that there are to preach. That it's something that needs to be done. And within the Word of God, of telling us to preach, it does give us that mindset of what needs to be preached, what needs to be taught. And so as we open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, here it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." You know, we often can plug this in with Matthew 28, where he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so here it tells us to go preach, and it tells us actually what to go proclaim. It says, proclaim the gospel. And so again, the mindset of go and teach, go and preach the Word of God, but in full perspective, what about the gospel? Should I preach this week? Because as we open up the Word of God, and you may, some like to just refer to the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you might look at it, the entire New Testament could be applied to it in a manner of way. But there's so much in there. There's the parables. There's the miracles. There is the life. There's the forgiveness. There is just so much. And which one do I choose for this week? Which one do I choose to wait, to hold off for a better time? And just defining, figuring out what am I going to preach? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. As it reads here, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." And so as Paul instructs Timothy, continue to be ready to present the Word of God, he, in a manner of way, there's different ways, different sermons that do need to be brought out. Some that go forth of reproving one another, some about rebuking others, some exhorting and lifting up and encouraging one another, and all with patience in the teaching. And so there's just a variety of mindsets in which what needs to be taught. And we have the entire Word of God that needs to be learned, to be taught, that needs to be preached as we continue to live our lives. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 16, again, here both in 2 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 4, just after the verses we read there in verse 2, it goes forth and talks about that there would be a time that comes when they will not endure sound doctrine. But why we have to continue to preach so that others will not fall away, and so that the truth will continuously be taught, and those who are strong rooted won't fall away, to help others grow that strong root. And so here in 1 Timothy 4, it also made mention in the first, I believe, five verses here, starts to get into about those, verse 3, about those who would forbid marriage some to require abstinence from foods that God created to be received. And so again, false teachings, those who are going to fall away. And so we get down to verse 6, it says, "If you put these things before the brothers." And so everything that he is writing here to this letter to Timothy about some who's going to fall away, or go back to chapter 3 of elders and deacons, and you just read about it, it says, put these things before the brethren. You know, you're supposed to, everything that we've learned, everything that I teach you, when I'm writing to you, these are things that we should be teaching. It says, "You'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words and faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with the irreverent silliness. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise to present life also for the life to come. The same is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Again, teach these things that I am writing to you. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and purity until I come. Devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So again, what am I to teach? Read the Scriptures. And of course here, you know, they have more old law, and so read the old law. Read the letters that I've written to you. And if they have copies of letters that Paul had written to other congregations, as Timothy might have, but, you know, probably not a lot of copies at this time to get. Teach the Scriptures. Teach the Word of God. And so as we give ourselves to studying, that's one way of coming up with these lessons, is simply just reading the Word of God. Read the Bible, and as you read the Bible, you will see lessons present themselves to you. Just by opening up the Bible and you studying it, reading it every day, and as you read it, you say, that would be a good lesson. And then you start putting other verses together with it. In Acts chapter 5 and in verse 42, Acts chapter 5 and in verse 42. Here it brings out, it says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. So what am I supposed to teach? What do I need to go proclaim? Again, the Lord is Jesus. Christ is Jesus. Again, there's a lot of ways in which we go about teaching about Jesus. Again, we can go to the Old Testament and bring out prophecies. We can bring out how Jesus fulfilled and the promises made it to Abraham, to David, and just continuously go through it. How many of the people and the genealogy that led up to Christ. We go back and study and see all the wonderful works that God has done. And so there's so much that goes into this one point, preaching Jesus as the Christ. So there's a lot that we can see here, and we can bring out probably a whole lot more verses just on this point of preaching and things that says, teach this, teach that, preach this. But what do I preach? Which one do you choose to preach? And so, sometimes, I believe we should ask help. Ask advice. Ask you guys what you would like to hear me preach, what you feel like you need to be preached about. So at this time, I'm going to have my sons get up, and they're going to pass out cards to everybody. And I know I've suggested this in the past, and we got some suggestion box back there, and it's rarely ever used. Now, I've had plenty of brethren from time to time that will come straight to me personally, one-on-one, ask questions, or ask for a lesson to be presented. And again, this morning's lesson was a suggestion from someone else. But I'm going to specifically ask for three things to be written on this card, and then you can put it in that drop box back there, and it'll help. And as we go throughout the remaining of the lesson, I'll show why I'm asking for help, because I believe a lot of the times it's those moments when the situation is at hand, or when brethren bring a report to you that you have something that you're going to talk about, that you see that needs to be preached on, that needs to be taught on. And so the first thing that I'm going to ask that you write on is a subject or a question that you would like to be talked about as a lesson. And so a subject that you believe, whether it's a subject that I have taught on that you would like to be preached on more, a subject that you haven't heard being preached on in a while, or a question that you specifically have, a question of, you know, what? Why do good people suffer? Or what about politicians? What about this? What about that? Whatever question you might have or subject, if you can't just think of something to write on that, you feel you would like to be preached on, and just write that on that card. Again, I'll just ask that you put this in the subject, the suggestion box in the back. You don't have to write your names or anything on it. But another thing that you can write on that is favorite chapter. You know, the question part, but you might actually just have something you want to hear preached on because it's something you like to listen to. You have a favorite chapter. You have a favorite, or if you don't know the exact chapter that you'd like to hear, maybe you have a favorite verse. And again, if you have a verse, you can build up off the verse very easily if you present a lesson. But if you got a favorite verse or a favorite chapter, if you got both, you can write them both down. That's fine. You can write that also on that card. And well, last and finally, if you have a favorite Bible character, I'm going to ask that favorite Bible character besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, I believe almost all things we can weave to Christ. A lot of our sermons should have Christ in it. If you want to put Jesus, go ahead. Or if you've got a specific story about Jesus, you can do that. But if you've got a favorite Bible character, and I'm going to assume some of these things might be double bound, or some people might write the same thing. There could be a lot that isn't. I can't guarantee when or I'll preach a lesson that you put in that box. But hopefully by doing that, it'll help me present some of the words or the Word of God, help teach on things that you would like to hear or that you feel that you need to hear, that you need to know more about. And again, I believe there's a lot of scriptures that I want to bring out now. And I'll show this again at the end of the lesson, the titles, the things that I've like written on that. But if you can't think about that, while focusing on the rest of the lesson this evening, but ideas of preaching. As we look through the scriptures, and again, I know a lot of the letters aren't necessarily a stand-up sermon preaching, but when Paul wrote his letters, they weren't just letters of things that he himself was like, oh, you know, I'm going to preach about this today, I'm going to preach about that today. A lot of it came from what he had heard from others going on. Especially if you look at the book of Corinthians. You look at the book of Corinthians, how many times everything he writes about is stuff that he had been told about, saying, this is what I've heard is going on over there, and so therefore it's something that needs to be talked about. It's, you know, it'd be interesting to receive those letters that are, that message that Paul had received as brethren had brought word to him of what was going on. You know, maybe the brethren were saying, look, this is going on and someone's got to do something. Or, you know, I tried to take care of the situation. I don't know what else I can do of the situation. Can you help and assist? And so, either way, we have 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11, and it says, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. And of course, here they are going forth and saying, I'm with Paul, or I'm with Apollos, or I'm with Cephas. You know, going forth and trying to claim that just because they were baptized by this person or they're baptized by that person, they are a greater person. Holding on to fleshly mindset there of, you know, this philosopher is greater than that philosopher, and this teacher is greater than that teacher. Paul's saying, yeah, is Christ divided? But again, Paul didn't just all of a sudden say, I need to teach about unity over here. He heard that they needed to be taught about that, that they need to be reminded that Jesus is the only one that had died for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, it says, it is actually reported, again, something that was brought to him, reported to him, that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that it is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And so again, this is something that was reported to him. Again, I'm not encouraging just because I'm reading out these verses that we have to go forth and tattletale. But there are times in which we might approach a brother in Christ and we aren't getting anywhere. And so we might say, hey, can you preach on this? There's a situation that I've been trying to deal with to help somebody. I'd like some thoughts on it. And so we can help one another out here. Again, Paul was reported to. They brought this word to Paul. And so Paul wrote to them about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 18, as we go in and he starts in about the Lord's Supper. In verse 18, it says, for in first place, when you come together at the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. And so as they come together, so I heard that, you know, things ain't working right when you come together. And of course he goes in detail as you go along in it, and that they're eating and making a feast of the meal and not coming together for the right reasons, not waiting on one another, not doing what is right. So time and again, as you go throughout the book of Corinthians, everything Paul writes is things that have been presented to him. And sometimes, hopefully, we have a good relationship with one another and we know what's going on in each other's life. Sometimes there's things we don't. And so if there's something that you would like to be preached on, or even, again, if it's something that you don't want to be taken care of up here in the pulpit, then please, yeah, I'm always happy to study. Well, find a brother or sister in Christ that you are comfortable with sitting down and let us help one another. Or sometimes we need to simply approach each other to ask for that. Again, we can see another situation. You know, sometimes we just know of wrongdoing that's going on. And so therefore, we preach against it. We know that the situation needs to be talked about because it is public matter and it needs to be brought forth. And I believe that's the situation we have here in John 6, in verse 18, that John the Baptist, you know, he knew, and of course, since he is the king, Herod is king, everybody knew that he had taken his brother's wife. And so therefore, John preached against it. John told Herod himself that it was wrong, that they were not in a rightful marriage, that this was a bad situation. And as you know, again, we have that. We need to be willing to do that individually, as we're told in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. But as that grows, we might have to bring others into it if they're not willing to hear you. And sometimes it might be a situation where something else is going on over here in another congregation or somewhere else, and we're like, we don't want that to take place here, and so we're going to get ahead of it. We want to preach it here before it becomes an issue. That way we're all on the same page. That way we know when we're ready to fight that good fight. So, again, I believe we have scriptures that show that we can go to one another, to go to if there's elders of the congregation, to go and ask whoever to present the Word of God on these issues, on certain things that are taking place. And so another verse to read, if you turn along with me, in Acts chapter 8. And it's not always a bad thing. Here, of course, I know Philip was brought here and told to come here by our Lord, angel helping him out and guiding him where to go and what to preach. But Acts 8, verse 30, as he came to the eunuch, it says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? That's, you know, somewhat of what I'm doing here this evening, asking you to fill that out. If there's something that you would like to be taught on, whether you do understand or you just want to be taught about it more, and you don't understand it much at all, that I can help present the Word of God on that matter. And so, do you understand? And of course, as you read further, it says, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so here he invited Philip. He says, I am struggling to understand this. I don't know. And he goes forth and reads the prophet and says, who is this man speaking of? You know, is he speaking of himself or another? And so he invited Philip. He asked questions. He's willing to ask somebody and point out where he needed assistance from. And so sometimes we have that genuine questions that we have, and we need to ask those questions to be able to help one another and study the Word of God. We have Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 18. This brings out here, it says, a ruler asked Jesus here, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And sometimes I jump back and forth on the attitude of this ruler that had come to Christ. And you know, Jesus answered him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard it, he said to him, one thing you lack, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Well, you know, he was probably genuine in his question there. What must I do in order to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered him, and you know, in the other readings, other accounts of this, you know, all these I have kept, what do I lack? He asked that question, Jesus then answers him to sell all he has and gets the poor and follow him. And that's, you know, he walks away sorrowful. And so sometimes we need to ask this question. You know, Jesus answered and taught this here because the question came up. And again, sometimes the questions are to trick. I'm hoping that you're not going to try to test me. So since you're putting it in the box, I have plenty of time to to try to take the time to study whatever lesson. Some of them might be harder to present. But a lot of times they try to test the Lord as they ask these questions. But because of the question being asked, Jesus was able to answer and go further and instruct. And that's how we have these teachings. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to him to test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So here he was trying to test them. And as he asked that question, it led to another question to try to test them. In verse 29, because he wanted to justify himself, he said, "Who is my neighbor?" And so as Jesus answered, you know, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first commandment. Second is love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, "Oh, I'm going to justify myself. Who is my neighbor?" You know, because, you know, I do love certain people. So who is my neighbor? So sometimes questions aren't always asked in the right manner as it was here, but because questions are asked, because discussion is made, teaching can be done. Preaching on that subject can be taught. Again, in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 35, another example there, what is the greatest commandment? And so, again, similar to right here in Luke, as the answer is, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Another question in Luke 20, verse 1. Luke 20, and in verse 1. As it reads here, it says, "One day Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, preaching the gospel, and chief priests and the scribes and the elders came up and said to him, 'Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or what is it that gave you this authority?' And he answered them, 'I will also ask you a question. Now tell me, what baptism of John, from heaven or from man?' And they discussed it one another, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why do you not believe him? But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death.' For they conceived that John was a prophet. So they answered, they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" And in one way, Jesus didn't answer it. In another way, he actually did. And, you know, as they both all recognize that it's either from man or from God, and using John to set an example. But sometimes, with so many brethren here, I may not get to your question, so please don't feel insulted if I don't answer your question. Or it may be a while. But I am asking for your help. I'm asking for your help, again, with those cards. If you put them back there, maybe, hopefully, at least maybe once a month or more, as there's plenty of opportunity to get to the subjects that you may have in mind that you would like to be presented, or just finding things that you like, as you might write your favorite chapter, verse, or Bible character on there, and presenting those words of God, and doing so might help answer some of those questions that we have that we'd like to be answered in the Word of God. And so again, just a mindset of what to preach. And if you're trying to present a Word of God, if you're trying to put a lesson together yourself, sometimes we just ask one another what they think should be taught on. And easily, sometimes it's easy to get those lessons why other people might have an idea of what needs to be taught or what they would like to be here presented. So I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that. While we always have a song that is for the invitation, and often they go along with encouraging you to stand up for the Lord, to come forward and obey the gospel, to be baptized and wash your sins away. And if you're here, you have done those things, we would like the prayers of the brethren, please let me know.